on the vision, how it came about, and then three testimonies, and then Jay's going to finish it off with a bang. All right, so maybe we can have the lights out during the video, and then Jay's going to take it over in 20 minutes.
Hey friends, it's my pleasure to share with you today, and this is Vision Sunday. And at every single one of our campuses today, we're going to be talking about what our pastors and our leaders are feeling, what the Lord is speaking to us for 2012. And it's very, very interesting. A lot of the prophetic people are saying that 2012 is a year that is still to be determined what God is wanting to do. It's almost like it's a year in the balance. And the destiny of Canada, of North America, really of the world, is still to be determined. And so it's very interesting, just a number of those different kind of things. For example, I know you've probably seen the movie 2012, just sort of the end of the world, and the Mayan calendar finishes at 2012, and it sort of almost plays into that, is that the destinies that we have in terms of where God's taking us, we just don't know what they're going to be. Well, we have some good news. Our pastors met in October, and we were talking about what is going to be our theme, and so we had a wonderful day just to hear from each other, to listen to the number of prophetic words that have been spoken by many of you that our pastors have received and have kept track of. We went through a number of scripture passages trying to determine what we felt our theme for this year is going to be. And in just a moment, I'm going to share that with you. But before I do that, I'd like to just recap just a real quick thing about what we did last year. So 2011, our vision was Love Our City. The first big one and probably the biggest event we did was Kids Fest in February on Family Day. And there was 20,000 people showed up at that event. And we were the title sponsors and we were able to help. We gave away 6,000 boxes of chocolates, chocolate turtles, courtesy of Nestle. We had some number of other companies sponsoring with us. It was great. We were able to minister to all sorts of people. We had healing booths and prophetic readings and all those kind of things. We also have had Love Our City events with the Salvation Army, with a ministry called White Rose, with a pregnancy center, with Followers Mission. We have done free taxes at our Mississauga campus. We have done lots of little community events where people have done street barbecues and street parties. We have had some amazing, amazing activities where people have just taken the opportunity, either as an individual or in their cell group, to get involved and to love our city. So for everyone who is helping, thank you so much. So because Love Our City was so successful, we are not stopping it. It's not going to be our theme for 2012, but Love Our City is going to continue, and you're still going to be hearing that brand name, as it were. So the first big thing that's coming up again in February is another Kids Fest. And this year, because they loved us so much in terms of what we contributed and how many volunteers and just all the great stuff that we did, they've asked us to be even more involved this year, and they've asked us to do a Sunday morning meeting at Kids Fest, which is outstanding to have a secular organization ask us to be involved at that level. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be sharing with you some of the opportunities that are going to be coming that way. So God bless you all. So let me tell you about our 2012 theme. As I mentioned, our pastors got together in October, and after a whole bunch of options and a whole bunch of scripture verses and a whole bunch of prophetic words that we were thinking about, we really felt that the primary thing that we want to focus this year is pushing into the presence of God. And as we looked at a number of different scriptures, for example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says to seek first his kingdom, and that seems to be one of the priorities that the scriptures are talking about, especially in the New Testament. And then we looked at things like Psalm 27, verse 4, which talks about one thing, and that's to seek his presence and to be pushing in deeper into the presence of God. And so our theme this year is this: expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. And the focus is going to be on the pursuing your presence. We had a big discussion as to whether we were going to say expanding his kingdom or expanding your kingdom. And we decided that we wanted to have the word your because we want to personalize it. So it's not just that this is what we as a ministry are going to be doing, but this is what we would like every person to be doing as well. So we are known all around the world as a place where the presence of God is. And so people continue to come to our conferences. People continue to visit our church. And one of the things that they look forward to is just coming into an atmosphere of the presence of God. Can I encourage you that this is something that is good, but it can get better? You can always go a little bit deeper into the presence of God. So there are three very practical things that we're going to be asking every person in our church to do. So these are your part. Number one, we would like everyone to get a buzzer or to get a phone app for your smartphone that is going to remind you every 10 minutes to worship the Lord and to focus on Him. And so there's a number of different phone apps. You can get just timer apps, and there's also one that's called Worship 10M. That is 99 cents, and it's, I don't know who did it, but it's a Christian organization, and it actually links to Carol Arnott's Facebook account about pushing into God. So that's number one, is to get a buzzer, get a beeper, get a timer, do something that allows you for every 10 minutes to focus on the Lord. Number two, we would like you to at least one time a month come to a group event to push into the presence of God. And so the easiest way for you to do that would be to come to one of the House of Prayer gatherings. So right now we're offering Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday mornings from 10 until noon, and Tuesdays and Thursday evenings from 7 until 9. And Patricia Bootsman has done an amazing job. There are some great worship leaders, intercessors that are involved in leading these meetings, and it has been amazing. I've sat in on many of them and just sat there and just being in the presence of God. I participated in praying, and we've seen many of you that have been there as well. So can I encourage you to consider doing that once a month? Also, at some point this year, we're going to start streaming those meetings. Don't know exactly when that's going to start, but we're hoping to make it easier for you to be able to just be in God's presence. So that could be at your workplace, that could be at your home, wherever you are, that you're going to be able to go on our Catch the Fire website, Catch the Fire TV website, and to be able to link in. We're also planning to have some special weekends. We're hoping to have the Riveras back for us. They are amazing soaking people. We're hoping to have Joshua Mills come this year. People like James Gull, prophet, Bobby Connor, prophet, to be able to help us just to facilitate going deeper into the presence of God and connecting with God. So we're hoping to have those kind of meetings. And again, we'd like to encourage you, have your personal time of soaking and things like that, but come to a group meeting once a month. Number three, the third thing we'd like you to do is to be involved in personal sort of pushing in for yourself apart from the buzzer. For example, plan a soaking time every week. Plan a time to read some books that are going to take you into the presence of God. Our resource center is going to be having a number of specials. They're going to be having a number of preferred books that you can read that are going to help you to personally get into the presence of God, to go deeper, to get to know your daddy in heaven just a little bit better. And so, again, we're looking to have every person do something. And as every individual does something, it's going to help us as a corporate organization, corporate community, corporate family, to go just a little bit deeper into the presence of God. We have a number of people in our church that have already chosen to push into the presence of God as a lifestyle. And I'd like you to hear their story right now.
My name is Ian McDermid. I'm one of the interns in the House of Prayer. Since I've been here, I've been spending about 10 hours in the House of Prayer each week, either involved in the worship teams or running sound or just participating, just one of the attendants, just of being there. And I've really found, I've learned a lot more about the presence of God and just how to recognize how he works and how he moves and how he speaks to us on a daily basis. And that's impacted my day-to-day life from just being with other people, but also just recognizing God working in other people's lives and hearing his voice and how I can then speak to other people. Something we're starting to realize in the House of Prayer is we're starting to cover the same topics again and again and again, and there's only so much you can say about the same topic for 2 hours or 10 hours or however long. But we're starting to realize the more we're pressing into things, the more we're starting to have a heart for those issues, the more we're starting to see a difference in the way that we look at situations around the world. So it's impacted us personally as well as just sort of our own prayer life. It's not easy, and it's never going to be easy. And I think that's a personal choice you have to make. No one can force you to worship. It's a choice you have to make yourself, but in making that choice, I think it's something that God really honours, and there is a reward. You may not necessarily see it then and there in the moment, but in the long run, it makes a massive impact in your life. For me, I've started to recognise a lot more of God's work in my life and life of other people around me. I find it easier. I think the more time you spend in any area, so if you focus on a musician, for example, for any period of time, you start to recognise their work much more, and you notice something that's not of them. So something I've started to be aware of, spending more time with God, I'm starting to see areas of my life that isn't God's will, and it's helping me to come into more focus and see clearly his purpose for my life. Continue praying, read the Bible, make time for God. That's a big area I've noticed in my life, making time every morning to start the day in prayer and reading the Bible. because that then carries on throughout the day, and you start to recognize something God may have spoken to in the morning, which you can then pick up on throughout the day. So that'd be a big tip, is make time for God. By pursuing God's presence, I found that I can recognize more of God's work in my life and in the life of others around me.
My name is Lisa, and right now I'm at the Catch a Fire Scarborough campus, which is pastored by Remish and Elsie. And that's like east of Toronto. I've been going there since October last year, so just over a year now. And when you and I were talking about his presence, when we first talked about it, one of the things that like a snapshot was in my head was, you can't experience his presence alone. It has to be experienced in a community with other people, because that's how you really get glimpses of all the different little parts of God. There's nothing else worth pursuing. I've been in that place where you feel like, I want to get this right first, and then I'll have time for God. The truth is, making time for God makes time for everything else. It is central to your being. It's like the core of who you are is who he is. And it doesn't take away from anything you're doing. It doesn't take away from anything you want to do. It only just adds. So I would fully encourage them to make that first. Like, you know, there were times when I was at home and I had the full day to praise him and to worship him. Now I'm working and I don't have that full time. But I get glimpses of those moments. I remember moments. And that takes me through the day. So, yeah, it's definitely worth pursuing at all costs. I can't really ever say I regret it. I wish that I had made it sooner. I wish that I had been able to have someone express to me the fact that he's not a crisis God. He's an everyday, every moment, concerned with everything about me, God, that he will lay everything down just to have 5 minutes with me, whether I have words to say or worship. Like, you know, when you think about the soaking, I'm a worshiper. I like to jump up and down. I like to express myself. The concept of just lying there and taking him in, that blows my mind, and that shows me how concerned he is. I'm not doing anything. I'm not making any motions. And he's choosing to be right there. That's the God that I'm pursuing. That's the God that I would encourage everyone to pursue, who's always right there, no matter what.
All my life has been, God, I want your presence. Lord, I must have you. You are the pearl of great price. You know, it's just been amazing, because God has been calling me, and we've been in ministry, going, traveling, jet lag, and so on. And so it's hard when you're traveling to really have that alone time to seek him, to really, you know, be in his presence as much as I want to be. And so I think that. You know, God was trying to, you know, call me. Come on, Carol, you need to give up some other things and come more with me. So he gave me a young man that came up to me, and he said, Carol, I want to give you these pearls. Now, I've already had a set of pearls, so, I mean, you can only wear so many pearls. So anyway, I said, well, I don't really need them. Thank you very much. And he said, God told me, I'm giving them to you. You do with them what you like. Well, I had a dream right after that where God said, I gave you those pearls. They're three strands, and I gave them to you to remind you of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, but I want you to notice how they're held together. And they're held together with a big clasp of pearl. And then in the dream, he said, Carol, sell all and buy the pearl of great price. So as I spent time with him, he said, Carol, I want you to sell me your time. He said, your time is the most valuable thing that you own. We're talking about, you know, the biggest challenges that I had when I started doing the 10 minutes. I mean, it was just so wonderful when the presence of God came that really encouraged me. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is my heart. I'm a worshiper. I love this. And yet, you know, you live ordinary lives and you're in the bank or the shopping mall or you're speaking or you're, you know, at a desk doing computer work. How do you do that? You know, that was one of the things. And the Lord just said, just, if you can't worship me like this, just worship me for a couple of seconds even. Just acknowledge and worship me. Just take 2 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever, and just acknowledge and worship. Just say, Lord, I think you're the best Father in the whole world. I love you. And continue back on doing, you know, your typing or whatever. So when I can, I worship full out. When I can't, I just do it in the back of my head. Because we can chew gum and talk, you know. So we can do 2 things. We're pretty good at multitasking, actually. and so I haven't found it a struggle because of his presence. I think the biggest thing for me in doing this for almost, well, it's a year now. It's actually a whole year. Is his presence. Oh. That is absolutely the most incredible. That's my heart's desire. That I would walk, be filled constantly, whether I'm on an airplane, whether I'm in the shopping mall, whether I'm speaking, his presence residing. Because you see, when we have him, we have everything else. I mean, I do not regret any of the time. I mean, it's been a wonderful thing. I mean, there's days when, you know, the worship is absolutely glorifying and, you know, lifting. There's other days where you're really busy and it's an obedience thing. You know, it's not quite so intimate and whatever. Or parts of the day might be like that. But on the whole, I mean, he's looking for obedience. He wants our hearts. Will we follow through? Will we be worshipers? That's what we're going to do in heaven. Worship him. So we better learn how to down here. And have I arrived? No. But it's sure fun on the process. The Father is looking all over the earth for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to put out a challenge to all of you. Try it for a month. See the difference that happens. You will be absolutely amazed. His presence will come and your life will totally change.
Those were amazing stories, but guess what? You have a story as well, and we'd like to hear your story. So here's what I'd like you to do. As you push into the presence of God, as you get revelation, as God begins to speak to you about different things, can I get you to do 3 things? Number one, tell your cell leader and share at your cell group what God's been doing. Number two, tell your pastor. Very good chance that they're going to have you share at your campus meeting on a Sunday morning. And when you share your story, you're going to be inspiring other people. And number three, tell us. Send an email to mail@catchthefire.com. We have a brand new Revival magazine, and it's revivalmag.com. And we want you to go there. We want you to be able to look at other people's stories. And it may be that you'll see your own story on there as well. So let us know what God has been doing in your life. Can I just encourage you, again, that as every one of us pushes into God's presence, some amazing things are going to happen. The kingdom of God will be expanded. So I have no idea exactly what that's going to look like. I'm presuming that that's going to mean that other people are going to be becoming followers of Jesus. My guess is that you're going to see the kingdom of God happening. And the primary 3 things in the kingdom of God that seem to happen are that healing comes in people's lives. Financial blessings come in people's lives. Good relationships come into people's lives. Those are the 3 primary things that Jesus talked about. He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life. And so as we push into God, I'm expecting those kind of life-giving things to come to us as an organization, to a church, to us as a church, but also to you as an individual. Well, I just want to thank you so much for all of you who have been part of Love Our City this last year. And this is going to be a little bit different push this year. It's going to be a push up. Last year we were pushing out. This year we're pushing up. And I know that as we do that, that God's going to be pleased. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you so much for every single person who's a part of Catch the Fire. Father, thank you for the amazing ministry that we have all around the greater Toronto area and the cities around the city of Toronto. Father, thank you that you have been expanding our ministry. And one of the reasons, Daddy, that you've done that is because we've been seeking you. We've been putting you first. So, Father, as we continue to do that, and as we tell you as a group that this is, Father, this is what we want to do. We want to push into you. And, Daddy, as we do that, would you be the rewarder of those who do good? Would you be ministering back into our lives? Would you be bringing us great health in 2012? Father, would you be financially blessing us in 2012? And Father, may you be doing great things in our relationships with our family, with our friends, in our places of work during 2012. Father, thank you that you promised to always be with us. And Daddy, help us to always be with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.
Pursuing God's presence. I like that how they put pursuing your kingdom to make it personal. Do you know what that means? It's not my kingdom, but we're pursuing his kingdom, expanding his kingdom as we seek the presence, but it's personal. So right now, just take a moment and just say to God, you know, I want to expand your kingdom as I seek your presence. Because that's what it's all about. I want to expand your kingdom, God, as I seek your presence. And it's not just a statement, but it's a prayer. It's a personal thing between you and God. No, because I believe that God wants to raise up a nameless, faceless generation that does signs and wonders and miracles. And I asked God a long time ago, God, how can they be nameless and faceless if they're doing signs, wonders, and miracles and get the breakthrough? And the Lord said to me, they'll be nameless and faceless because it will be commonplace. Think about that. He said it will be nameless and faceless because it will be a common thing. It won't be uncommon to see healings. It won't be uncommon to see deliverances. It won't be uncommon to see financial breakthroughs and blessings. And you won't be famous for getting the Holy Spirit and bringing the kingdom of God, because everybody will be doing it. And he showed me this picture, like an atomic bomb of light and revelation, where there was so much light and so much revelation that you couldn't really tell exactly where it was coming from. It was just sweeping across the globe like a wave of light. And literally, when an atomic bomb goes off, a wave of light that actually turns, it burns the atoms within the air, and it turns the earth into a sun, and it goes across a field, and it moves at such a speed that before you can drop a fork in Hiroshima, you became a shadow on the wall. And I really believe that the old things, all this sin of this world will pass away, and it will become like a shadow before the glory and the presence of God. That's how big the last big revival is going to be. And I've been fasting and praying into it for 16 years. Lots of 40-day fasts. Lots of prayer. And everything inside of me waits for the day when miracles become commonplace. Everything inside me waits for the day when signs and wonders become commonplace. Everything inside me waits for the day when Benny Hinn is no longer a star because everyone's doing what he's doing. And there's a nameless and faceless generation going out and taking this world. Yes. That's what I want to see. More than anything, and that's why I'm a pastor and a reverend and all that stuff, but I'm an intercessor first because I really believe that that's really what the heart of God is for. And that's what my heart is for. That's what I'm praying for. So, you know, things are in the balance. Prophets can't really see anything right now. Major prophets. They all said, we don't really know. We don't know what's going to happen. Things are in the balance. There's decisions being made about the end of the world right now. Marnie even came here. She said, you know, Stephen Harper actually pushed back the beginning of the time of tribulation with his stand on Israel. And the judgment of God has been pushed back just that little bit more. Who is Marnie? A really good friend of mine who prays for and advises Stephen, Sandra, and she, even the Prime Minister's wife. Like, National Prophetic Council. And I have lots of friends. She's a personal intercessor of mine. And I have lots of friends who are, like, really, really high up in those realms. Now, I'm not, because it's funny, whenever I get around a lot of those people, we talk about things of God and what's on God's heart and stuff like that. And the temptation for me is always to prophesy to them, and the Lord's like, no, maybe I'll tell you some stuff about them and you can pray for them, especially Fatine. Drives me nuts. She always wants me to prophesy to her, but the Lord's always like, nope, but I'm going to show you this, and I want you to pray for it all. And it's always a test whenever she's around. So, in my life, I was going to start with Carrie's prophecy. Because I was on vacation, and I was just going through some emails, and I found this prophecy from Carrie from 2010. It was New Year's 2010. And the gist of the prophecy was that you're going to come into a season where you can't see anything, and all around you will be dark. And your friends won't be able to see anything, and all around them will be dark, and there will be confusion, and some of your friends will be leaving you. This happened to me. But instead of getting bitter and getting mad, you're going to be stumbling around, and you're going to find Jesus' feet and stay there. And you're going to find such joy and such peace. And when even everybody around you is panicking, you're not going to care because you're at the feet of Jesus. And and Jesus is going to bend down and he's going to lift you up. And he's going to put a crown upon your head. And I see you getting ordained, and it's a surprise. And I see you getting a suit that you paid for, that no one gave you, and I see you getting a new house, and God's going to bless you, and all this stuff. It was supposed to be for this year. And so, sometimes I'm just like, God, I'm tired of all these really good prophecies. What is this? My reality doesn't match your word. And I want it to, but it makes me bitter. And frustrated and depressed sometimes. Because I know that I'm not living in the fullness of what Jesus Christ died for me to live in. Because it's really important for me to receive what Christ died on a cross for, because I know that it was paid for with such a high price. People spitting on God. Beating him beyond recognition. Mocking the Eternal One, the Great One, the Holy One. The creator of it all. I know he paid for it. And so I'm really passionate to receive what he Because when somebody pays for something for you to get, they really do want to see you enjoy it. Nothing makes them feel happier than to see you enjoying what they got for you. You ever gotten somebody a really nice present? Isn't it make you happy when you see them really happy with the present that you got them? And they don't even have to say thank you. They just have to be smiling and using it every day. That's the heart of the Father. And so my prophecy was interesting to me because I started looking back. And about last year, around, don't worry, I'll relate it all back. Last year, around, I got to go quick. Last year, sometime, I lost another job. And I was mad at God because I turned down a job that was $22 an hour. Because I had the job. It was my job. I had it. The guy offered, shook my hand, said, come in tomorrow, you're hired. I had this job. And I turned it down so that I could pastor. So I had to be there 3 Sundays a month. So then I find myself working this other job that's really hard. That's like $11 an hour. You know? And then I have no job. And I can't see anything. And I call my friend Marty, my intercessor, and some of my other friends. And you know what they all say to me? I call Sandra Long, too. She prays for me. And they all say, I'm really sorry, Jay, but I just can't see anything. We just can't see anything. I'm calling all my intercessors, calling my friends who are really prophetic, really, really prophetic people. And they all give me the same answer. We're sorry, Jay, we can't see anything. We're sorry, Jay, we can't see anything. We're sorry, Jay, we can't see anything. I wish I could tell you something, but I just don't know. Emails coming back. My wife's pretty upset. I'm upset. I didn't know what to do, so I just I asked God, what do I do? He said, fast. I'm like, oh, great. Oh, great, God. But through that fast, I found myself at the feet of Jesus. It was a 6-month Daniel fast. And at the feet of Jesus, I found that the fear was gone. And I began to have joy in my Lord, and I started to really catch on fire. And as I was catching on fire, I found the Lord pouring his presence out on this church. Whew, like today. Just pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And I knew that wherever God is, he's a winner. And that if he was there with me, then everything was going to be okay. And when somebody would mention me being in debt, I'd be, oh, God knows I'm in debt. It's okay. I don't care. And somebody mentioned something else about having people leaving our church, I'd be, oh, God knows people are leaving. That's okay. I'm at his feet. I'm at his feet. And people were panicking around me. I remember it. My wife was panicking. Kevin and Jill, there's different people were panicking. Well, you should have heard some of the conversations we had. And some of the, Grace and Joseph were panicking. I shouldn't name names, I'm sorry. But people were panicking around me. But I panicked at some points, but I just said, okay. Every time I started to really panic, you know what I did? I just got at God's feet. And I just spent time there. And I just said, you know what, God, you know, this might be the one opportunity I have to praise you when there seems to be no reason to praise you. And I know that angels are looking down from heaven and cheering me on. This, and I fought to break through, if that makes sense, into a place of peace, into a place of joy. And it's interesting because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness first, peace, then joy in the Holy Ghost. The righteous thing to do, of course, not that I'm righteous, I believe it was the Spirit of God and the fact that my circumstances at the time were getting worse and worse, and it seemed like it was getting so bad that I had nowhere else to turn. was just acknowledging that God was God and I'm not. That's what I did. So you're God, I'm not. Maybe I just have to learn to just accept your will, whatever it is. And I just started laying down all the stuff at Jesus' feet, laying down my unbelief, laying down bitterness, laying down my plan, laying down the call, laying down whatever it was that I had to lay down to get into the presence of God. I'd lay it down because I knew that that's all I needed to get through this life. This is my personal testimony. You know, and I found a lot of good things happened this year. Maybe I didn't find the ideal job, but you know, I had this crazy boss, really crazy boss. Everyone complains about him. He's actually gotten in fist fights with people. No kidding. When I got there, I was forklift driver number 6. Three forklift drivers ago, he got in a fight with the forklift driver, this guy. I had this really crazy boss, okay? But, you know, it's good, because normally I would have reacted and just said, forget this, I'm leaving, see ya, right? So I do not like letting people's junk stick to me, because I want to get into the presence of God. And if you have too much junk, and I feel that it's going to, this is something I did for years, and I feel that it's going to hinder me from getting in the presence of God, I'll just say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm going to wait until my heart's in a better place. It's not a mean thing, but it's just like, your junk is not going to hinder me from worshiping Jesus and getting a revelation of his goodness, because I need that to get through my day. Right? And so, this guy had lots of junk, and I was just like, oh, God, I don't want this. But because I was spending all this time at his feet, at God's feet, I was able just to like bless this guy and be at peace. And then I found the lead hand was talking to his boss, the shipper was talking to his boss, the floor lead hand was talking to his boss, and he actually got in trouble. Got in trouble. God like just defended me so supernaturally. There was all this favor. They even offered to promote me. Think about that. And no offense to them, I don't want a promotion because I want to work for God and give my life to him, not to a corporation. Some people are called to do that. I'm not. And so, you know, when things are in the balance, a really wise thing to do is to press into the Lord and get at his feet. Does that make sense? When you don't know what to do, and that's what's happening throughout the church, none of the prophets know, a really wise thing is to get at his feet. And you know the whole church, Kansas City, there's a call corporately to the whole body of Christ to get at the feet of Jesus, not just at TACF. There's a call. Now, I got to hurry up. John 15, 1 through 8, it talks about us being in the vine, and he is the branches. Right? He is the vine and we are the branches. It says that, at first it says that he prunes every branch that it might bear more fruit. So this year you might find that God is pruning things away from you. Like Carrie was saying. Pruning away unbelief. Pruning away bitterness. Pruning away sin. It would hinder you from going forward inside his presence. Pruning, 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 pruning. I know about pruning. Look at the pruning. There's pruning all over this place. All kinds of pruning. But it says, he prunes that we might bear more fruit. that we might bear more fruit. I don't like pruning, but I know that the results are really, really, really good. And I believe that we've had a lot of pruning in here. Anyone here feel the pruning of God in their lives? God pruning away things? If you felt pruned any time in the last 2 years, that's good news. Because that means you qualify to bear more fruit. And it says that we might bear fruit. And you keep reading in 15:9-11, it says that his joy might be full. That our joy might be full. I'm paraphrasing here, because I got to go fast. That our joy might be full. It always reminds me of Keith Green. He's like, this is my command, that you love one another, that your joy might be full. I used to love that song. I used to love that song. Play it. And you hear him just pounding away on the piano. When I first heard it, I didn't get it. I was like, what? I love God. And then I figured out, I looked up the verse and stuff. And it was so anointed. So anointed. But God wants us to have our joy come from his joy. Our joy will come from his joy. And there is joy in the presence of God. I was watching a video of people laughing and rolling on the floor and jumping on pulpits. And it talked about our heart being wide open as he makes everything glorious and everything beautiful. Guys in suits dancing on top of their pulpit, laughing their heads off and everybody falling over. There's joy that comes from obeying Jesus, from being in the vine. And our joy will be our strength. And that joy, I believe, I really do believe, and I had tons of prophecies during the time when I couldn't see anything, is to just keep smiling, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength, and it'll bring you through. The IHOP people prayed that over me. And I believe that his joy actually is the key to gaining the favor of the Lord, access to the favor. Because through that joy, you get peace, you get confidence, you get faith, and you get strength to run the race. Hebrews says that we run the race for the joy set before us. Not the joy that the world gives, but a joy that comes from Jesus. And from his Holy Spirit. That our joy might be full as we bear more fruit in him. Because we've been connected to the vine. This is the way to avoid the hammer of God, the judgment of God. Because in Psalms 2 it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and we will be dashed to pieces. But if we do kiss the Son, he will give us, church, the nations. He will give us the nations. I believe it. I do. This is why the trial's been so severe. Philippians 3:12-16. It talks about running the race in a way in which to win, which is what Steve Long is calling us all to do. To obtain the prize, which is an upward call within Christ Jesus. All that he died on the cross for us to receive, to run that race. I've been preparing my cell guys for this, haven't I? Right, guys? They've seen results, promotions, business deals, connections, all kinds of blessings, right? I'm going to have them come up and testify. I'm just waiting for enough testimonies for it to be big enough not even big enough. Just as soon as I see, like I've already started to see it on Andrew's face and Jeff's face, I want all my guys to get the breakthrough. And I want to, when they get to the point where I don't have to ask, I shouldn't even tell them this, but anyway, when I get to the point where I don't have to ask them what they got from God and how it blessed them this last 2 weeks, and they just tell me and they're excited, then I can bring them up. But they're not there yet, but you know what? God is blessing them. And it is pretty major. But they're not to the point yet where they're so excited about it that they can't hold it in. When you can't hold it in, you're getting up to the front. But not yet. I'll know. You'll be just busted with the joy of Jesus. Healings. Sandra remembers this. Sandra used to walk with a cane. What else? There was another girl, she couldn't drink milk. There was there's quite a few healings in my cell group, and they came like a wave over a period of about 3 or 4 weeks. And everybody just got healed. Bam, bam, bam. Backs got healed. I think Gwen had a shoulder problem that got healed. There was a lady who came and got healed from cancer. There was all kinds of healing. Wham, wham, wham. And they came like a wave of healing. But before we got that wave of healing, do you know what was happening in our cell group? There was these angels that were coming. Remember that? When the angels were coming, and they had these scrolls, and we were practicing seeing in the spiritual realm. We're not there yet, guys. We're not even close to there yet. Sorry. And we were listening to what the angels were saying. And then all these breakthroughs came, and our cell exploded. Remember? But before that, we were listening to the angels and seeking God. And then there was only about, I think, 5 people in our cell at the time. And then it was like 80 people. So, if you come away from anything in this, the best place to be when it's foggy and you can't see anything is at his feet. If you stay in the vine, he might prune you this year. The purity will come. But it's only so that you might bear more fruit, so that your joy might be full in him. Your joy might be full. Because there's joy. And when you get that joy, you'll have righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And you'll find that his favor will come flood you. And he'll lift you up from his feet to his knees. And you'll be able to put your head upon his chest and hear what's on his heart. And I believe that there is healing on his heart. I believe that there is a breakthrough on his heart. And I believe that, I remember when I first got the whole pastor position, I said to my cell group, I said, you know, guys, my breakthrough is your breakthrough, and I'll do anything I can to prove it to you. And I did a lot of things to prove it to people. Having people at the pulpit, different, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been around here long enough, you'd know that I make my breakthrough the other person's breakthrough. But the reason why I do that is because I really believe that is the heart of Jesus. He wants to make his breakthrough your breakthrough, his victory your victory, but you must be united with him, because he is the vine and he is the branches. You are the branches. And any branch that is not united with him will be thrown into the fire. So, who wants to go forward? Who wants their joy to be full? Who's willing to submit to the pruning that they might bear more fruit? I am! Who's felt like they've already been pruned a lot? Good news is, if you've been pruned a lot, then the fruit's coming. And if you haven't been pruned a lot, get ready because the pruning's coming. But don't worry about the pruning. Just stay at his feet because it's so that you might bear more fruit, that your joy might be full. And when your joy is full, his joy will be your strength, and you will run the race in such a way in which to win. To get the prize, which is the high call in Christ Jesus, which is those prophecies that you've been hearing and been frustrated about. Amen?
Yeah! We get it! Lord, pour out some of that joy. Your hand out. You want the joy? You want strength for the race? I really believe that revival is all about the joy of God, that how much he loves you, the Father's love. He just put his joy on a broken society to show us that there is joy in Jesus, that he might revive us and fill us with strength, that we might be able to get up off the ground, that which is dead becomes alive and begins to move and work and run forward. I believe that the joy of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is all about Ezekiel's bones, the dry bones on the desert floor, dying, dead, gone. And when he pours out his spirit, they rise up and come to life and form the army of God. And great waves of revival have went forward even as the joy of the Lord has been poured out on a dead, dying church or nation. Sometimes I feel like I'm dead and dying. When I am, you know what I do? Put your hands out. I get a big fat drink. I do it in the secret place as much as the public place, even more. It's spiritual Gatorade so we can run the race. Oh, just lay your hand on the person next to you and just pray for the joy of the Holy Spirit. Pray, that they would be filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Pour it out, Lord. My heart wide open. More, Daddy. Pray for the other person to press in. There's times where I couldn't press in, and my wife would be pressing in for me, praying for me. More, Daddy. Keep praying. Pray for that person just to get filled with the Holy Spirit. With their joy. Yeah. We've only just begun, church. We've only just begun. There's more. Feeling it. Who's feeling it? Ha. Thank you, Lord. You are the vine, and we are the branches. Abide in you, and you will abide in us, and that we will bear much fruit, that we will not be withered, but instead, or burned by fire, but instead, Lord, that your words will abide in us, and that whatever we ask shall be done for us. And that by this, your Father will be glorified, that we might bear much fruit, and everyone will see that we are your disciples. And as the Father loves Jesus, Christ has also loved us, that we might abide in his love and keep his commandments, just as he kept his Father's commandments. And as we abide in his love and do the things that he has told us, that his joy would remain in us and our joy would be full. Amen.